Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, checking on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews, recaps, previews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader. Fred, hi, how are you today?
Good evening, Carlos. Hey, NB Park won again in Mexico, and we have the LPGA's Craig Kann to tell us all about it. Plus, Graham McDonald won on the PGA Tour for the first time since 2013 RBC on Hilton Head, and we close out the 2015 European Tour season with the DP World Championship from Dubai, as well as the LPGA's race to the CME Globe this week. Carlos, let's go.
Let's go, and that's going to be our practice range. We're going to preview for you the European Tour Race to Dubai and the LPGA Race to the CME Globe, but we start every week with the Weekend Backspin, where we recap the weekend's action, and I'm going to start right away with the European Tour that is just one tournament from finishing, and Sweden's Christopher Broberg. He secured his first European Tour in style by defeating the American Patrick Reed in the playoff for the BMW Masters in Shanghai. Broberg, he birdied the first extra hole at Lake Mälaren after he and Reed had finished tied on 17 under, with the overnight leader Sung Chan Jae-ji and Benny Ann and Henrik Stenson all missing birdie putts on the 18th green for a chance to be part of that playoff. The players returned to the 18th green and for a sudden death, and after Reed found a greenside bunker with his approach and splashed out to 4 feet, Broberg definitely made no mistake this time with his birdie attempt. He sealed the win with it. World number three, Rory McIlroy, he did not play the event. He'll take the lead of only 1,613 points into the DP World Tour Championship this week as he looks to win a third Race to Dubai title in 4 years. McIlroy would have been overtaken by Danny Willett if he would have done one single birdie more. The Englishman had finished alone in 18th or better in Shanghai, but he didn't. He finished with a final round of 70 at Lake Mälaren and left him in a tie for 28th with two other players as he looks to finish the year as Europeans number one for the first time. We'll talk about this in depth at the practice range, but some players can still win that Race to Dubai. So, Fred, McIlroy will be very confident of holding up on that top spot given his record in the event, since he has finished in the top five in five of his six appearances, winning in 2012 and finishing second behind two-time defending champion Henrik Stenson last year. So, very good. We're going to talk about that, but let's go. You have the LPGA Tour result for this weekend.
Yeah, the main story coming out of Shanghai, the BMW Masters there, was Rory didn't play, and Willett and Rose got just a little bit closer, but Rory still kind of holds the edge there going into this week. Hey, on the LPGA Tour, NB Park posted a final round, 8 under par 64, to win the Lorena Ochoa Invitational for the first time in her career. It was her fifth win of the season, moved her ever closer to Lydia Ko, who took the week off to prepare for the CME Tour Championship this week. Ko still leads Park on the money list, Player of the Year, Rolex ranking, and Race to the CME Globe, but Park is now leading in the Vare Trophy standing by .0161. Park also earned another point toward her LPGA Hall of Fame qualification, now is only 1 point short of automatic induction. Winning any one of Player of the Year, the CME Tour Championship, or the Vare Trophy would give her that point. Park has only taken 9 years to earn her spot in the Hall of Fame. Players must be an active LPGA member for 10 years to be eligible, so she can't be eligible till after the next year, but she'll have the point she needs. Carlotta Segunda tried to catch Park, but came up just one stroke shy with a 9-under par 63 on Sunday, the low route of the tournament. Segunda was a member of Spain's winning international crown team last summer, had 3 top 10 finishes this season, is now number 52 in the world and number 37 in the Race to the CME Globe. Rookie of the Year Se-young Kim finished solo third, and So-young Ru captured the fourth spot. Carlos, tell us a little bit about that Monday playoff we had at in Mayakoba. You're talking about everything with playoffs this weekend.
Playoffs? Talk about playoffs. Yeah, birdie at the extra hole of a playoff between the eventual winner, Graham McDowell, last week's HSBC Champions winner, Russell Knox, and the informed Jason Bond at the OHL Mayakoba Classic in Mexico. So McDowell won his first PGA Tour event since 2013 Heritage Classic and his first anywhere since the French Open nearly 18 months ago. The delayed final round saw McDowell and Knox produce fast rounds of 66 to catch third round leader Derek Fathauer and then Jason Bond before McDowell hit a superb 5-iron at the first extra hole to set up an easy birdie putt after sitting par at the 72nd hole to keep himself alive. Fathauer finished two shots back and alone in fourth position. Fred, G-Mac has been kind of a forgotten man, but I think we can get answers from his off-year by the remarks he made after sealing the win, and I quote, "It's been a rough year for all the right reasons. I'm just enjoying life off the golf course." So his focus doesn't seem to be on the golf course, but anyways, great to see him back winning. He's a great player, Fred.
I read a little piece today. He said he got a tip from Greg Norman, helped him out this week. He's playing a little bit better. Feels pretty good about what's happening. So maybe he'll have a good year next year, get back to the top of things.
Well, that wraps up our weekend backspin. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to start with the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. So don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. This week's news, we're going to kick it off, as usual, our tee shot. It's going to be with Fred Alcrater. Fred, what do you have for us?
Hey, it's all about the young kids, Carlos. Three of the top six players on the FedEx Cup standings thus far this year are under the age of 23. Justin Thomas is number two at 22 years of age, and Smiley Kaufman is number four, and Emiliano Grillo is number six. Both are 23 years old. Yes, the wraparound season is all about the young players and veterans trying to get a leg up on the 2016 season by playing one or two events, but the regularity with which these young players are winning on the PGA Tour is quite alarming. Jordan Spieth set the bar very high for young players by zooming through the tour in 2013 to earn his tour card, amassing a host of top 10 finishes and winning at the John Deere Classic along the way. These young players played against Spieth in junior tournaments and in college matches, and they are confident they can compete on tour, and with the training and competition they faced as youngsters, allow them to jump right in and have the confidence to win on tour. Even if these first several tournaments of the year are lacking many of the marquee names on tour, the talent pool is deep in professional golf. And to win any event, wraparound schedule or not, is a huge accomplishment. Besides, the checks still cash, the FedEx points still count, and the invite to the Masters is official. Grillo won the Web.com Tour Championship at the beginning of October to secure his 2016 tour card. Then he went right out and won the Fries.com, the very first event, as an official PGA Tour member. Smiley Kaufman, also fresh off the Web.com Tour, watched Grillo win while he finished T10 in California and then won the next week in Las Vegas. Justin Thomas had a fairly successful 2015 campaign on the PGA Tour, posted seven top tens, and earned over $2.2 million. He skipped Vegas, and after finishing third behind Grillo at Fries.com, he won his next start at the CIMB Classic in Malaysia. All three of these young players will now have to adjust their season goals from just keeping their tour cards to winning again and performing well in the majors. a locker and with their name on it, it's going to be waiting for all three of those guys at Augusta National for the Masters in April. Carlos has already anointed Griot the Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour for next season, but I think there may be a couple other young players that may give him a run for his money. This week at the RSM Classic, ends the wraparound schedule for this year. There are some funsy events in December, but the PGA Tour takes a break until things begin in earnest again in Hawaii with the Hyundai Tournament Champions of January. So, Carlos, we're right here at the end of the PGA Tour this year, but the young guys are having their way.
Yeah, and Rio, let's point out that he has been playing. He played in the WGC HSBC Champions there and the BMW Masters, and he's doing pretty good. He's going to be also in the Race to Dubai final, so he's playing great. And I would say to the comment of Rookie of the Year, yes, he is the only one that I think can overtake him will be Patton Kizzier. So that's my point. Anyway, let's talk about Vijay Singh and the PGA Tour lawsuit that doesn't seem to come to an end. You know, more details on Vijay Singh's lawsuit against the PGA Tour are coming out, which, though interesting, doesn't signal a resolution anytime soon. If the case goes to trial, the lawyers estimate its time would be at least a year away. Many commenters have already called Singh an ingrate or worse for suing the organization that has allowed him to win $70 million in prize money. But Singh undeniably suffered a hit to his reputation in 2013 when the tour suspended him for 90 days after he admitted he had used deer antler spray. Yeah, we all know this thing. But anyway, without knowing, it contained traces of a banned growth hormone. Although the tour in subsequent weeks dropped the penalty after learning that the World Anti-Doping Agency did not consider the spray prohibited per se, Singh argues that he should have never been publicly sanctioned and is seeking damages in the amount of $5 million. Probably the unsparing judgment to the cheating accusation in the 1985 Indonesia Open is almost certainly what caused Singh to be so determined in his legal pursuit of full vindication about deer spray. Because of what allegedly went down in Indonesia, Singh, in the minds of many, is guilty until proven innocent. His court case might seem disloyal, but it's not frivolous. That lawsuit reached a milestone last week with a flurry of flings, including a request from both Singh and the tour to the court for a summary judgment. Last week also marked the end of an intense discovery process, with over 130 flings posted to public record last Thursday that at least partially pulled back the veil on this bizarre episode. The next step in the case is for the courts to rule on the motions for summary judgment filed by both parties. The court's determinations of those motions are not expected for several months anyway. Meanwhile, the parties will participate in a voluntary, non-binding dispute resolution hearing with a mediator. The next step in the lawsuit is the voluntary. Both sides have filed motions for that summary judgment, but as you know, it won't be until several months. So if those two sides fail to reach an agreement in the dispute resolution, the next stop would be a jury, and that likely won't occur until late 2016 or early 2017. The case is a mixed bag, as is, unfortunately, the career for Singh. Hopefully, some clarity and closure comes from the case, but Singh has admitted the process has been a distraction to his performance. Fred, going into next year, he appears in kind of a limbo, too proud to transition to the Champions Tour, but to all appearances, finally lacking enough game to be a contender on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, every golfer gets that. You know, you can't compete with those young guys. He might as well pack it in, go over and play with the older guys, and just settle this thing out of court and get it done. It's dragging on. It needs to be over with. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the PGA of America held its 99th annual meeting at the PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida last week. Past PGA presidents, board members, and delegates from all 41 PGA sections from around the nation discussed the progress the PGA has made with its long-term strategic plan to serve its members and grow the game. The PGA of America was founded in 1916 and is made up of nearly 30,000 men and women dedicated to promoting the game of golf and providing the very best training and management for the benefit of golfers everywhere. PGA President Derek Sprague and CEO Pete Bavwakwa kicked off the meetings by laying out the framework for the PGA's focus on advancing the ability of PGA members to utilize state-of-the-art tools and education to foster career growth and player development. Sprague, in his second year of his two-year term, said, "As an association, the best of what we do centers on leading, inspiring, and believing in others. That's how we create the next generation of leaders. The greatest tribute we can make to the association is to leave it better than we found it. That's what leaders do." Tee Time Reservation Services has so cluttered the marketplace that the PGA joined with the National Golf Course Owners Association to create the Golf USA Tee Times Coalition to monitor tee time reservation companies and provide a method of compliance among industry providers. This should help eliminate scams and help public golf courses to also maybe help their profitability and sort out some of the people that aren't quite as reputable. PGA Vice President Paul Levy, who will ascend to the president's chair next year at this time, announced the formal partnership between the PGA and the National Golf Course Association. PGA Secretary Susie Whaley, who's in line to become the first woman president of the PGA of America in 2018, and the PGA of America Chief Operating Officer Darryl Craw, delivered a presentation on the success of the Junior League Golf. The Junior Golf League is a special project of Whaley in her efforts to bring more women and juniors to golf. The program has grown to approximately 30,000 boys and girls in 2015, an increase of over 13,000 from 1 year ago. They demonstrated how the program's growth is facilitating the next generation to play, learn, and enjoy the game. Other functions of the meeting included induction of six new members on the PGA Board of Directors, recognition of the 2015 PGA of America National Award winners, Tom Henderson and Cameron McCormick, and Lee Trevino, Payne Stewart, and Charlie Sifford were officially inducted into the PGA America Hall of Fame. And the PGA Distinguished Service Award was presented to former PGA Tour Commissioner Dean Beaman. Carlos, the men and women PGA professionals around the country are the first line in creating an enjoyable experience at every private and public golf course in the nation. They do an amazing job, and the PGA, for the most part, is doing its job in keeping golf fun for every golfer.
Hey, Fred, you know, 8 months out, the UL International Crown is looking for a new site to stage its event. The LPGA and Rich Harvest Farms announced last Wednesday that they have mutually agreed to relocate the biennial international team competition that reaches match play among eight countries. The event was scheduled to be played July 21 to the 24th at Rich Harvest Farms outside Chicago, which is owned by businessman Jerry Rich. It has hosted the 2009 Solheim Cup and two significant men's amateur events in 2015, the Western Am and the Palmer Cup. The private course is located 50 miles west of downtown Chicago and will host 2017 NCAA Division I Men's and Women's Championship. No reason for the move were given, but though the release stated that the LPGA remained committed to keeping the event on the same dates and remain in the Chicago area. The LPGA Tour statement, and we'll listen to Craig Cannon of VIG talk about this, says that both parties, however, remain open to the future LPGA tournament opportunities and another tournament could return there in the future. But in the Global Golf Post, they reported that no one at the tour would comment further and no one associated with the LPGA would ever say an unkind word about Rich or his staff. But those who have knowledge of the working conditions at the facility and ongoing tensions there say that Rich, who is accustomed to getting his way in all things big and small, came to loggerheads with the tour on several fronts, impasses that made it impossible for the event to proceed. The LPGA says that it's trying to complete a deal for a new site for the 2016 matches, while the 2018 edition will be played in South Korea. The Fred Spain won the inaugural International Crown at Keys Valley outside Baltimore, Maryland last year, but it sounded like this Jerry Rich. I thought it was Donald Trump who was there having that problem with the LPGA.
Well, you know, when you're a billionaire, you're kind of used to getting your own way, you know. And I think that's kind of the deal with Jerry Rich. You know, if you don't want to play ball my way, I will just take my golf course and you can go someplace else. Coggs Hill has been bandied about as maybe a substitute location. I'm not sure if that's going to work out, but there are a lot of great golf courses in the Chicago area. You're going to hear Craig talk about that in a little bit. So I don't think they're going to have trouble finding a place. It's just a matter of getting a contract signed, the I's dotted and the T's crossed. Hey, Carlos, don't try to adjust your television when you are watching the RSM Classic from Sea Island this week. Yes, that's Phil Mickelson's caddy, Bones McKay, and Hunter Mahan's old caddy. Now, beginning next season, it's going to be Matt Kuchar's caddy, John Wood, handling on-course announcer duties for the Golf Channel this week on Sea Island, carrying a microphone rather than a golf bag. McKay and Wood will be on-course reporters for key groups during Friday and Saturday rounds of the RSM Classic. NBC Sports producer Tommy Roy said, "What's going to be pretty cool is hearing their point of view on what's going on. We hear so many players refer to we, and it's clear it's a team getting this done on the course. So this will be the perspective from the other half of the team." Mickelson and Bones carry on a running conversation over every shot when they're working together at tournaments, so this shouldn't be much of a stretch for McKay. Bones has been with Mickelson for all 20 years that Phil has traveled on the tour, and Bones has been on the bag for every one of Mickelson's 5 major titles and 42 PGA Tour wins. I wonder if Bones feels like Phil treats him like a slave.
I knew
Wood has had a very successful – what's that?
I knew that was coming.
Had to do it. I just had to do it. Wood has had a very successful 9-year run with Mahan, but is moving to an even more successful Matt Kuchar. Although Kuchar did not win in 2015 on the PGA Tour, he's had a really successful offseason here around the world. He had 7 career wins on tour and is looking for his first major victory. Golf Channel has been working on this for over a year, Carlos. The 2 caddies and have been practicing with headsets to adjust to hearing the producer's commands and how they are to respond. Roger Maltby will be there to help both caddies. And they're going to also have a rehearsal Thursday morning from Sea Island before going live in the second round. Bones said, "I really appreciate the chance. I think it's going to be cool. I'm fascinated by the whole TV side of it. We have had a chance to appreciate the amazing amount of hard work and attention to detail. It's an honor, and it will be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it, but I also want to make Golf Channel happy to have us out there." Both McKay and Wood have a ton of experience. It should be very interesting to listen to them discuss certain shots and conditions on the course this weekend. And, Carlos, you know anything that gives the caddies the recognition they so richly deserve, I'm all for. Carlos, that wraps up the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network for tonight. United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories, are available with discount coupons for huge savings. They have an excellent product line, but they also offer every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on product through their director's program. Everyone should check this out, Carlos. Gives everyone a chance to have their own pro shop, access their own products, sell to their buddies, make a buck. Great travel deals involved in the United Golf Network program. So visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today. Check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos.
And that wraps up the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have Craig Kann on the BIG. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to the Back 9 Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
back, and now it's time for the very important guest, the VIG of the week. It will be Craig Kahn, the LPGA's Chief Communications Officer, a friend of the show. He's returning for a fourth time for here with us, and he's going to talk to us about the closing of the LPGA season and offer some insights on the year and looking forward. So, Fred, if you want to set up the interview.
Yeah, he has just done an excellent job as the communication director for the LPGA Tour. You know, and we've had the pleasure to have him on the back nine, as you said, several occasions, including just 1 year ago as the women prepared for the final event of the year, the CME Tour Championship. He's going to give us his take on the past year and a look ahead to some of the young stars to watch going forward, Carlos.
And now it's time for a VIG, very important guest of the week. And once again, we have on the show the LPGA Chief Communications Officer, Craig Kahn. Craig, welcome again to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Really warm weather down here in Naples, which is pretty good because we got a couple of hot races to finish up this week and a real good wind-up to a good season here on the LPGA Tour. So couldn't be in a better place at the Ritz-Carlton down here in Naples.
Just wanted to offer my condolences to you. I know you are a big Missouri fan, alma mater there, alum, and your coach, Gary Pinkel, has had some great success and going to have to resign at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I actually spent last night watching the press conference and have been to two games this year and have some friends within the athletic department and actually have met Coach Pinkel on a number of occasions and co-hosted an event with him back in 2005 when he was, you know, in his early days at Missouri at a golf outing in St. Louis for the Alumni Association. And you know, I think that the big thing is he's always done everything first class. You know, I mean, he took a program that had just been, you know, mired in losing season after losing season. Trust me, I was there for it. And he resurrected a program, and he built a team into a program. You know, we didn't have a program back then. It was one team after another and all that sort of stuff and didn't have a lot of success. But right now he's done all the heavy lifting, and I hope somebody else can eventually take us over the hump and do something incredibly special. But he's been the best thing that's ever happened to Missouri football, and I'm honored to have had a chance to spend even just a couple of minutes around him. He's a motivational guy and really great for the school. So it's a sad story, but as he says, there are a lot of people with worse ailments dealing with cancer that might be more severe than his. But he'll take it head on and hopefully be able to live a long remaining life and enjoy what he's done for the university.
Yeah, he's been a class act. Going to be sad to see him go. We liked him when he was here in this area, and he's done a fantastic job out there. So, yeah, Carlos, you had some. Go ahead and continue on here with Craig. We got some questions.
Yeah, we got golf questions to talk about.
We got golf.
Yeah,
let's talk golf.
A lot of golf. And Craig, and we talked to you at the same time last season as you were preparing for the beginning of the CME Tour Championship. And back then, we wondered what the LPGA could do to stop. You know, until the top, so 2015-2014 season. I mean, last year, Lydia Ko had emerged in tour. Michelle Wee had won the U.S. Women's Open. Lexi Thompson battled Michelle down the stretch to the ANA inspiration for her first major title. But this season has been a huge season on tour. And here's some of the highlights. I'm going to set them up for you. Lydia Ko, she won her first major at the Evian Plus, 5 wins. It's 16 top 10 finishes, and she battled in Bay Park for the top spot in the women's game all season long. She's still going at it. I mean, more young stars in, including Se-young Kim, who won 3 times. This is the runaway winner, for sure, the rookie of the year. And 19-year-old Min Jae Lee won in Kingsville. Lexi Thompson had another great year. She won again, and it's up to number 4 in the world. Jessica Korda just got her 4th career win this fall. Then you have that great Brooke Henderson score from this year. She began the year with no status. I'm sorry. Blew to the Sumatra Tour, winning in South Bend, and then won on a sponsor's exemption in Portland to gain that LPGA Tour membership. I mean, that's its own Jordan Spieth story for the LPGA. But the Reds were also competitive behind Indy Park and Nyan Choi, Christy Kerr, who won early in the year. Britton Lincecum won the ANA Inspiration. Suzanne Peterson and Anna Nordqvist all found the winner's circle. St. Louis did not win, but it's still number three in the world. It had 14 top tens, and it's number three in the money and race to the CME Globe. So, Craig, again, the question, how can you top that next year?
I don't know if you can. I mean, you just rattled off our entire season. Sounds like you've been out there more than I have. It's pretty impressive stuff. I mean, there are so many stories that we could lean on for what the highlights might really be. And I think everybody kind of got a little taste of it. You know, Stacey Lewis has a chance this week to win $1 million bonus and win the race to the CME Globe, and she hasn't won a golf tournament this year. It's the same three players battling down the stretch, top three in the race, Lydia, Inby, and Stacey, as we had last year, which is really kind of impressive, and it speaks to the domination of those three players on this tour. You mentioned Se Young Kim, runaway for Rolex Rookie of the Year, and she's going to get that award with a tribute to Louise Tuggs, for whom the award is named after, on Thursday night. You didn't mention Solheim Cup, which was a huge story for the LPGA and women's golf in general for the drama, not the negative drama, but just the drama of an incredible finish for the American team, which was huge. I think one of the things that stands out to me, and sure, we could talk about Inby and Lydia for the next hour for what they're doing. I mean, Lydia first in the race to the CME Globe, first in the Rolex ranking, second in the Bear Trophy, first in the Player of the Year race, and first in the money list. And Inby's second, if not first, in any of those other categories, the same categories. So it's really a battle between those two. But I think one of the things that stands out to me is the youth movement in women's golf. You mentioned Brooke Henderson. She was 17 when she won. 11 tournaments were won by players under the age of 21 at that time this year. The average winner's age on the LPGA Tour this year is 24. Which is really a statement about where the future of the game is, but also just kind of how good this talent is. And that's what stands out to me. It's really impressive. 15 of the first 30 events this year were won by a player under the age of 23. So you can go on down the list. You can come up with all these names and all that sort of stuff. But I think the big picture is the status of the game, state of the game, and the youth movement and where we're going.
Yeah, to stay on the youth for one more second, Nellie Korda, Jessica Korda's younger sister, just won the second stage of LPGA
right.
Tour qualifying, and is too young to come out on tour because she's not been turned 18 until the middle of next summer, so she's
right.
weighing about staying, going to college for a year or so before she turns pro.
Yeah, I mean, that's what these players are facing. I mean, they're talented beyond belief at a very young age, and they have decisions to make. And I think, you know, Mike Wan's done a really good job. Of course, I probably wouldn't say otherwise, but I think he's done a really good job of allowing the players to find their way to the tour in the right way. You know, I don't think you rush success. I think people have to be patient for it. If she ends up going to college for a while, that's great. It'll only make her a better person. If she comes out there, you know, with that type of talent that she's already shown, she's going to make an impact based on the numbers that I've already thrown out. So that's what we deal with. That'd be kind of a cool story to have her and her sister Jessica kind of battling down the stretch of a tournament someday. I think it's safe to say that'll probably happen at some point.
Yeah, we had Caroline Powers on the show a couple weeks ago, and I put a synopsis of that interview in NWO Golf Links in the November issue, and she, you know, she had such a great time in college. She kind of said she hoped Nellie went to college for at least a year or so to get a little bit of that feel. So,
yeah.
Hey, you talked about the Solheim Cup, that win on Sunday, 8.5 to 3.5 in singles to come from behind to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to talk about that a little bit. I know you were over there. What were the feelings that day? I mean, that just had to be off the charts.
Well, it was. I mean, I think one of the things that stands out to me is really a couple of the heroes for the United States team that maybe don't get enough credit for being good players. You know, Angela Stanford's had not a whole lot of success in past Solheim Cups and took down Suzanne Pedersen in singles on Sunday. That was a huge moment for her, for sure. The putt that Jarena Pillar made was unbelievable. You can make an argument it was the biggest shot/putt/moment of the year in women's golf. Maybe take away Se Young Kim and her victory in Hawaii with the chip in and then the hole out in the span of about 15 minutes, and that was incredible too. But I think it was big for the Americans. Obviously, Julie Inkster was the captain that everybody loved going in, and and everybody delivered four going out eventually. And sure, there was some chaos, there was some confusion, and there was some heated moments, and that was a big part of the Sunday story, no question about that. But I think if you kind of peel away the layers of it a little bit and kind of find out what it's all about, it's about not giving up, it's about teamwork, it's about belief in yourself and all that sort of stuff that coaches and managers and all that in professional sports talk about. And the Americans were solid. I mean, they just were. They didn't play great in a couple of the sessions. There's no question about that. But in the end, they got what they came there for. And I think it's going to just make Des Moines in 2 years something just a sight to behold. It's going to be spectacular. They've already kind of blown away Colorado as far as advanced ticket sales and hospitality and interest level and so forth. And we had a great week in Colorado. So I think it speaks volumes to where the event is, and it's certainly great for the United States.
Yeah, that's the event I really want to get to next year. I really want to try and get out to Des Moines for that. Only negative I can take away from this season on the LPGA Tour was that Michelle Wee battled injury most of the year and just not as competitive week in and week out. Hope she can get healthy over the winter and kind of regain her top form that we saw from her in 2014.
There's no question she's got Player of the Year talent. You know, and it is unfortunate for her because she was on such an emotional high, and then she had that injury and had to withdraw at Evian, and things just kind of spiraled from there. But she started out the year and wasn't in the best of shape or spirits. Didn't have the best year for her, no question. Winning these majors is going to become more and more difficult. You know, I mean, NB1 KPMG, NB1 Rico, NB1 the Rolex Nautica Major Award for overall play in the majors. Evian went to Lydia Ko with a fantastic Sunday final round. There's so much talent that we've already talked about. You mentioned Minji Lee and Hyoju Kim's only 19 I just think every player is kind of, they're on notice, you know. They've got to work hard to be relevant on this tour. That's just the way it is. And Lexi Thompson is a superstar as well. Stacey Lewis, you know, is going to come out next year really, really ready to go. And I think 2016, you know, I was excited for 15. I think 16 could be even better based on what we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, you're selling it. You're selling it, man. I can hear it. Hey, let's talk a little bit about you got new events on the LPGA Tour and the Symetra Tour next year.
No question. I mean, you know, one of the things about our schedule at the LPGA is we've had steady growth, and that's on both tours. You know, we're pretty proud of that. Over the last few years, Mike Wan's really delivered. In 14, we had 25 events, and you know, it was 13 and 12 when people were saying the LPGA, what's the future? Well, in 15, we had 32 events. We're going to have north of 32 next year, which is a real positive. And purse size is huge as well. So, you know, we've gone from $42 million bucks that they're playing for in 2014, and we'll be over $60 million next year. I think that's huge. People talk about the number of North American events on our tour. Are we spending too much time perhaps in Asia or Europe or other countries? We play in 14, 15 different countries. We're on TV in more than 170 countries, so we are a global sport. But at the same time, we're a North American-based tour. And we've had 23 events will be North American events next year. And I think that's a real positive, you know. Yes, we're announcing new events. The Symetra Tour is growing. We're up over 24 events on the Symetra Tour, which is, you know, the proving ground. And players have got to be ready for that. So getting on the LPGA today is a real tall order. I think the goal is to provide them with the right tools to have success, not just get them out there, but to deliver once they get there. And that's our whole focus right now is player development and providing opportunities, because when you've got 400-plus hours of TV, which is up 200 over the last couple of years, you've got exposure for these players, and you want them to be ready. And so as we continue to add tournaments and purses and all that sort of stuff, we want the players to have success, and we want this product to grow so that folks like you are having radio shows and other people are doing other podcasts, and we're getting coverage around the world. That's the goal.
You got the Olympics coming up this spring or this summer also, which has kind of thrown a little monkey wrench maybe in some of your scheduling. But what are you looking for from the Olympics from an LPGA Tour standpoint?
I think it's a huge opportunity. I mean, you know, it's a select field. 60 players will be there. I'm looking forward to going. I've been on the communications committee for the Olympics for the last 2 years getting ready for this thing, and I think the big focus is just exposure and raising the platform for the game. You know, it's not going to be match play. It's going to be, you know, stroke play, medal play, and that's because they wanted something tried and true. They didn't want to have to explain what the scenarios were, how the sport worked to people who might not be familiar with the game. It's very easy to just say four rounds, best player wins. So I think for the players that make it, not necessarily the American players or the or the top players in the game, but players, you know, for example, from Paraguay, Julieta Granada. I mean, what an opportunity. I believe she's going to be carrying the flag in at the Olympics, and that's the kind of stuff that really resonates with me, that this is an opportunity for players to elevate their name, not just their game, but their name, and the Olympics does that better than anybody when it comes to athletic competition. So I think 2016, you know, you talked about it, it's kind of a funky schedule with all the things that have to move around on the men's tour and the women's tour to accommodate Olympics, and majors are going to get pushed around, et cetera. But when it's all said and done, I think we'll all be proud that we had that opportunity to compete. We'll be looking forward to 2020 in Tokyo as well.
The second International Crown is scheduled to be held this summer ahead of the Olympics near Chicago. Just announced last week that Rich Harvest Farms had withdrawn as the host of that event. Anything you can share with us about that and as a second venue been identified as yet?
Well, I mean, it was a mutual agreement on both sides. And, you know, there's not a whole lot I can really say about this thing. It happens sometimes in business situations. But we both parties worked really hard on this thing. And you know, from here out, we're going to find a venue that's going to be a spectacular place to hold this competition. I think it's safe to say that we'll end up being in Chicago. That's certainly the goal of everybody, including UL, the title sponsor. This event is an incredible opportunity for eight countries to be represented by their four best players based on the world ranking, and for fans to get a glimpse of why we're a global sport and why we push that all the time. I mean, these are superstar players that want to compete for their country. This is something different than the Solheim Cup. It's a fantastic event. Spain won it the last go-around, and they're not assured of getting into the event, you know. Right now, they're outside the top eight, so they've got some work to do. But trust me, I think we'll all be good here in the next couple, 3 weeks, and we'll be focused on a great event and be really, really have something to build on.
Something that maybe gets a little bit lost just coming into this week is Indy Park is only one point away from earning her way into the Hall of Fame, and if she wins the Vair Trophy, that would do it. Even if she doesn't do well in the tournament, she could still win the Vair. She's a few, you know, hundredths of a point ahead of Lydia
right.
for that. That's a big deal. Only 9 years she's earning that. I think you have to be on tour 10 years, so she wouldn't
yep.
get it until next year. But she could earn enough points.
Well, she could get that point with a win this week. She could get it with the Vair Trophy, or she could get it with the Player of the Year award. All of which are certainly within her grasp. I mean, look, she's a statement. She's a statement player. She's a statement waiting to happen each and every week. You know, she had a 3-shot lead going into Sunday last week in Mexico. I looked at the player list going into the week, and I mean, to look at that and not think, you know, with Lydia not in the field, that Indy was the favorite. I mean, you had probably not been following our tour if you thought anything otherwise. 3-shot lead going into the final round, and what does she do on Sunday? She shoots 64. You know, I mean, she just keeps going, and she is so tough. She doesn't make mistakes. Carlota Segunda had that incredible round on Sunday, but just, you know, couldn't quite do it. And so here's NB. She needed to finish eighth or better, and she needed to win one of the last two events. That was period. And her line was, well, wait a second, if I win both events, I'm good, right? You know, I mean, that's the thinking that she has. And so I think it sets up this week to just be super special with 5 wins for NB and 5 wins for Lydia. And they both got press conferences over the next 2 days. They got them this afternoon. Lydia's, you know, got hers, and NB's got hers. So it's a fantastic, fantastic opportunity for the LPGA to watch these two players.
Well, we have been talking with Craig Kann, Communications Director for the LPGA Tour. Thanks again, Craig, for coming to talk to us and give us kind of the state of the union address for the LPGA Tour. You know, Carlos and I are big fans. We follow it very closely. And we wish you guys all the best, and we'll definitely be watching this week from Naples.
Well, we appreciate it. You know, big thanks to Kia. We're going to hand out 4 cars on Wednesday to the top players in 4 different categories for the Kia Performance Awards. We've got the Rolex year-end awards night on Thursday night, which is just a super special thing. And big thanks to Rolex for all they do. And obviously, televised coverage this week. You know, Golf Channel for 3 days. We're on network on the weekend. We're on ABC on Sunday. So I hope everybody will tune in. That's an opportunity for us, and we're really pushing for more network opportunities to showcase our great talent. So ABC on Sunday from 2 to 4, and I hope everybody will tune in.
Carlos, anything else for Craig before we let him get on with his day?
No, just thank you once again for being with us, and best of success to this week. I mean, there's a lot of the line, including Naples, for all the women, especially for the Lydia Community Park. So we are going to be watching, and hopefully everybody will be too, and that's a success for next year too. Thank you for being here, Craig.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Craig.
There you have it. That was Craig Kann, the LPGA's Chief Communications Officer. Fred, so much that we always talk to him about, and he's so gracious with us. And we're going to be talking a little bit more now in the practice range about the CME Globe, the Race to the CME Globe Finals. But one point that I just want to make point out from this is, you know, he mentions right away, right off the bat, something that we've been covering here is the youth movement in everywhere in golf. And he mentions all the great players of the LPGA, the young players that are coming up, obviously led by Lydia Ko, Minjae Lee. And so the future of the LPGA is settled, in my opinion.
Yeah, I always enjoy talking to Craig. He is so knowledgeable. He's been in the business so long. And he's the guy that crafts the message for the LPGA Tour. So when we have a chance to talk to him and get his thoughts on things, he's the guy that has the storylines that we're reading about. You know, he's the guy that pushes that stuff out to the media. So he's right on top of things, and he has a really good feel for stuff. And I really appreciate it. I feel he's very candid with us and gives us the really good information. So always enjoy having him on the show.
And we thank him once again. Let's take one final short break. When we come back, we're going to have the practice range. We're going to talk about the LPGA and the European Tour seasons coming to a close this weekend.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the practice range. Every week, Fred and I pick a topic, and both give our take on it, take our shot to it. That's why we call it the practice range. This week, the LPGA and European Tour seasons are coming to a close this weekend, and we'll offer you our take on both finals, the Race to the CME Globe and the Race to Dubai, respectively. And we're going to start right away with the LPGA Race to the CME. This week, the LPGA is moving to the state of Florida for the playing of the CME Group Tour Championship. This is the final tournament on this year's schedule. Many of you may remember last year's exciting finish when in a three-way playoff, Lydia Ko came out victorious over Carlota Siganda and Julieta Granado. Lydia not only won the $500,000 first prize, but also won the Race to the CME Globe bonus $1 million. This tournament was called the CME Group title holders for its first three editions. The qualification for the tournament changed for the 2014 season. Previously, it was the top three players finishers in each tournament, not previously qualified, earned entry to the tournament. For last year and later, now the field is determined by the season-long points race, the Race to the CME Globe. All players making the cut in a regular tournament earns points of 500 points going to the winner. The five major championships have higher points distribution with 625 points to the winner. And the top 40 finishers of no-cut tournaments earn points as well. And the top 20 on the Lorena Ochoa Invitational. Only LPGA members are eligible to earn points. The top 72 LPGA members and those tied for 72nd on the race to the CME Globe point standings ranking order of their position on the standings at the conclusion of the Lorena Ochoa Invitational are included in this field. Additionally, LPGA members not otherwise qualified who win at least one official LPGA tournament during the season and non-LPGA members who win at least one official LPGA tournament during the season are included. This is a limited field and therefore lacks depth, but make no mistake about it, this is a major championship field because all the top name players are here. It will not be just $1 million that are on the line this week, but all the major awards are still up for grabs. Lydia Ko currently leads the official money list, but it could be passed by Indy Park. Two Hall of Fame points are up for grabs this week. Both Lydia Ko, currently with a slim three-point lead, and Indy Park will be fighting it out for the Player of the Year, while the VAR Trophy Hall of Fame point will enter will either go to Indy Park or Lydia also. Indy currently holds a slim lead there. Like you mentioned on the VIG, Fred, Indy needs just one more point to have the 27 needed for the Hall of Fame entry. She also needs to play one more season to have put in the 10 years that are required. So Lydia Ko, Indy Park, and Stacey Lewis are the only players that are guaranteed the $1 million this week with a victory. Any player in the top nine can win the big prize, but will need plenty of help to do so. So, Fred, how about this race to the CME Globe, which is very, very contentious? Lydia Ko, Indy Park seem to be the one-two punch here, but what's your take?
Yeah, it's pretty much a two-woman race. Even if they're not battling for first or second, you know, are they third and fourth? Are they sixth and tenth? You know, their position is going to dictate what's going to happen with that $1 million bonus. The only one that really can affect that very much is probably Stacey Lewis. She still has a chance to pull off a great year, really. You know, she's had 14 top tens, although she has not had a win this year. She's still number three in points, money, and world rankings. So she could still pull this thing off, as Craig mentioned in his segment. But it, you know, it depends a little bit on Indy and Lydia also, what they do. But they're Lydia and Indy, they're the big story coming in here for sure. Lydia took last week off. She didn't play in the Lorena Ochoa Invitational. But Indy, she won it. She looks strong. She looks relaxed. She looks very confident. Se-young Kim had another great week last week. Could we see a rookie win the $1 million bonus 2 years in a row? You know, Lydia won it last year, you know, as a rookie. And these young ladies, it's just the youth. It's unbelievable. Can Lydia become a two-time winner of the race to the CME Globe? She's won nearly everything else. Why not? You know what? And somebody it's not getting a lot of press this week, but, you know, don't forget about number four, Lexi Thompson. She's kind of lurking in there, you know, and this is more or less a home game for her. She grew up in Florida. You know, she could find the winds off the Gulf and the, you know, Bermuda Greens and Naples to her liking. So I wouldn't count her out. And another player that I really like in these situations and also is playing pretty well over the Asian swing in the last few weeks, So-young Ryu. You know, she plays really well on difficult golf courses, difficult situations, big tournaments. She's looking for a win also, so I wouldn't count her out. But make no mistake about it, Carlos. These are professionals. It's all about the money. This is a big purse. $500,000 first place prize. That's over 2.5 times what the average tournament pays. You know, normal first place check is around $200,000-$250,000. So this is a big prize just to win it. And then to have a chance to win a $1 million bonus on top of that, you know, the U.S. Open, the KPMG PGA, the Evian, those have big first place checks. But this is a big deal this week. And then these five categories for who's going to win the $1 million bonus, who's going to end up number one in the world at the end of the year, who's going to win the Vera Trophy, who's going to be the player of the year, who's going to win the money list. Those are all the side issues that make it interesting, but they're all planned for that big check, Carlos.
And I would like to add also one name that has gone like under the radar. And on these kind of situations, she always goes big, and it's Suzanne Pedersen. She has registered four consecutive top 10 finishes, so watch out for her. I think she's the one that could overtake those top three. So one thing that I have to mention, and it keeps bothering me, I don't know. Once again, the golf channel coverage is delayed. When the coverage starts on Thursday through Saturday, the tournament will already have been completed. For those who are scoreboard watchers and still want to see the TV broadcast, I would advise you to stop looking at the scores when the in-bay group finishes the front nine. That is where the coverage on Golf Channel should begin. And I am assuming on Sunday that the coverage on ABC is live. So that's such a bad thing. You know, this tournament, such
Sunday,
a big tournament.
Sunday is supposed to be live, yes, 2-4 window on ABC. Yeah, so, but yeah, the other will probably be tape delayed, yeah.
It's incredible, but anyway. So any other comments you want to go for this before we move on to the European Tour's race to Dubai?
No, I think between Craig and what we've talked about, I think we pretty much covered the CME. Let's talk a little bit about the European Tour.
Perfect. And I have one more note. I just wanted to point out that Chelichoy, you know how many tournaments she has played this year?
Who, Chelichoy?
Yeah.
No.
She has played all tournaments this year.
She played every one?
Every 31 tournaments this year.
She won here in Toledo, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, and she has played every single tournament. Incredible.
Is she the only one that played all tournaments, you know?
The only player on the LPGA this year to play all 31 tournaments. All 31.
Man, that's a tough schedule. I don't know how you do that.
Oh, me neither. I just had this note. It's incredible. I mean, somebody that plays every tournament. Wow. And especially in the LPGA being a global tour. I mean,
it's
amazing.
Yeah.
So from one global tour.
Good stat on that one, Carlos. I missed that. That was a good one.
Thank you. From one global tour to another, European Tours, the Race to Dubai final. The number one of that tour will be decided this week as the tour season reaches a climax with the DP World Tour Championship. Henrik Stenson defends, and seven players could win the Race to Dubai. This will be the seventh running of this event. It was first held in 2009. It's always taken place at the Jumeirah Golf Estates Earth Course. The first edition was won by Lee Westwood, and since then, Robert Carlson, Alvaro Quiroz, Rory McIlroy, and Henrik Stenson have been champions. Last year, Stenson successfully defended his title in a thrilling tournament. The Swede held off Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, and Victor Dubuisson, taking the title for a third time. Stenson will be aiming for a hat trick this time out. Rory McIlroy hits into the tournament with the slenderest of leads to the Race to Dubai standings. He just has 1,614 points in front of England's Danny Willett. The other players who could be crowned the European Tour's number one at the end of the events are Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, Louis Oosthuizen, and Brandon Grace, who all need to finish second or better in Dubai, and Benny Yan, who needs to finish first. The top 60 players on the Race to Dubai standings will tee it up this week, although it looks at this stage as though Stephen Gallagher's in 61st place will make it in, because my guy Sergio Garcia decided I'm not going to play. Oh, my God, that really worries me. Sergio, sorry, but I don't understand this one. Other than topping the points list at the end of this week, another battle is the one to make it into the top 15 and so secure a share of the $5 million Race to Dubai bonus pool. Patrick Reed is currently 15, with Henrik Stenson breathing down his neck in 16th place. Then there's a question of the Ryder Cup qualification race. Significant points will be available this week, and a good finish could give a player a major boost in the standings. Christopher Broberg heads the European points list after this week, last week's victory. Also to be decided is the Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year Award. Vinny Ann, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Anirban Lahiri are all in the running. Ann was the winner of the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Fitzpatrick won the British Masters at Woburn, and Lahiri has won twice on the circuit during this year. Fred, the weather looks typically clear for the week with the warm temperatures and sunshine predicted. And say whatever everybody wants to say, I think the trophy, at least for the tournament, runs through Henrik Stenson.
Is the did you notice, is the wind supposed to be very hard there? Because they're in the desert. The wind can be a problem there. Do you know?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I haven't checked either. I just wondered. But, this is – the tournament's held at the Earth Course in Dubai. As you mentioned, only the top 60 are invited. The total prize money for the four events and the race to Dubai is in excess of $36 million. You've got $30.5 million in total purse among the four events, plus – a little bit more than $6 million in bonus pool that's going to be doled out to the top 15 on Sunday. This is really big money for the European Tour. It's not as big as the $65 million that the PGA Tour offers in the FedEx Cup, but it's a big payday for any of these players nonetheless. Seven players still have a mathematical chance of winning. Rory, of course, balls in his court. Danny Willett's right there, real close to him. Justin Rose moved up over the last few weeks. You mentioned the other guys that still have a chance, mathematical at best. Henrik Stenson won the last 2 years here, plus he won the Dubai tournament that's in March a couple years ago also. He's not in the running for the number one spot this year, but he's played very well in this tournament. He played very well in Shanghai at the BMW Masters last week. He's coming off a good finish. He's at number 16, just outside the number he needs to get the bonus money. So, you know, if he has a good tournament, finishes in the top 10, maybe happens to win again, could mean a big payday for him, some extra money for Christmas for the family. You know, if you look past Rory and Danny Willett, Justin Rose, you know, and Patrick Reed, he's... you know, kind of an interloper from the U.S. over there playing on the European Tour. But they all turned in strong performances last week, except for Rory didn't play. But, you know, Reed ended regulation play tied for the lead but lost the playoff to Broberg. He has the length to do well in Dubai. He's got the all-around game. He's proven that. So, you know, maybe Patrick Reed is kind of like a sleeper here. You know, maybe somebody we want to watch for. You know, other big names, you mentioned Sergio, who's at number 27, is going to decide not to play this week. Miguel Angel Jimenez just keeps hanging around. You know, he's 50-some years old. He's still number 29, on the European Tour to race to Dubai. Charles Schwartzel didn't have a great year, but he's number 33. Luke Donald, a name we haven't talked about much, but this year he's played a little bit better. I still keep looking for Luke to get back to the top. Number 34, Lee Westwood, committed that he's going to go back to playing the European Tour full-time next year and limit his play in the United States. Number 36, and Ian Poulter, number 7, or 37. There's a guy that wasn't even going to play. He was just going to sit out and ends up going to cash a pretty good check. You know, and a guy that I picked up, I was looking down through the list today for the field, even though Emiliano Grillo is now a member of the PGA Tour and is just having a great fall after winning the Web.com Tour Finals and the Fries.com, is number 56 and could make a big statement for his status in world golf should he do well this week. But you got to worry about fatigue this time of year, even if he's only 23 years old. Do 23-year-olds even get tired, Carlos?
They have to. I mean, they're human. They just get tired a little later than us. But I would also add there a name of Victor Dubuisson. No, he yeah, was also
I've been thinking about him all day. Yeah, I agree with you, Dubuisson.
He won 3 weeks ago in Turkey, and he played some good golf last week and this weekend in the BMW Masters. But just like Justin Rose, if he was let down by his putting, and but if he and Justin, if both of them can find something on the greens this week, they'll be there or thereabouts. I mean, but Victor Dubuisson seems to be going back into top form, so that should be a player to watch. So, with that, we wrap up our practice range. Now we go to the final putts, and I'm going to start right away with giving some congratulations in order for Australia's top golfer, Jason Day, and his wife, Ellie, who have become parents for the second time. Day's American wife, Ellie, gave birth to a daughter, Lucy Adeneal, last Thursday. The pair also already have a son, Dash, who's 3 years old. Ellie's pregnancy was the reason that Day, the world's number two, opted to stay at his American home in Ohio for it this year rather than returning to play in the Emirates Australian Open at the Australian later this month. Day has spoken recently about how parenthood has settled him and helped with his golf as he climbed to number one in the world this year and won his first major. So once again, congratulations to Jason and his wife Ellie on his newborn baby. And finally, I'm going to talk about the Champions Tour, who is moving to a playoff system next year that will settle the Charles Schwab Cup. The 50-plus circuit will have a three-event series in the fall, starting with a 72-player field in the new PowerShares QQQ Championship near L.A., announced Monday by PGA Tour Commissioner Tim Fincham. After that event, the top 54 players in the point standings will remain standing for the Dominion Charity Classic to be played in Richmond, Virginia. The season will continue to end with the 36-player Charles Schwab Cup Championship. The tour is yet to announce a point system that will use for playoff events, including a potential reset and if the new playoff finale will end with only one winner, not a tournament champion and a season-long winner like we saw two Sundays ago with Billy Andrade winning the Schwab Cup Championship in a playoff over Bernhard Langer, who regardless won his third Schwab Cup complete with a $1 million annuity. So in January, as we all know, Charles Schwab signed a 20-year extension to keep its name on the season's long points race trophy grid.
Yeah, I've got a couple things here to talk about, Carlos. Jordan Spieth's accomplishment of winning the first two majors of the year is being appreciated by Sports Illustrated. Spieth's name is being bandied about as one of the 12 athletes in the mix for SI's prestigious Sportsman of the Year Award. Others of note on the list, Stephon Curry, Usain Bolt, Novak Djokovic, American Pharoah, and Ronda Rousey. I suppose they'll knock her off now since she lost. But Sports Illustrated also announced that Jack Nicklaus was named as a recipient of the prestigious Muhammad Ali Legacy Award. He's only the third person to be so honored, joining Special Olympics founder Eunice Shriver and NBA legend and philanthropist Irvin Magic Johnson. Nicklaus is receiving the honor for his benevolent work raising millions of dollars for children's hospitals in both Southern Florida and Columbus, Ohio. Dustin Johnson's going to host a World Junior Golf Championship in February at TPC Myrtle Beach. It's going to be a 54-hole stroke play event and is expected to feature a 90-player field of elite-level boys and girls from around the world. Dustin said, "Junior golf was vital to my development as a player, and I'm excited to help launch an event that hopefully will grow into one of the nation's premier tournaments. I lived in Myrtle Beach for nearly 10 years and still consider the area home, so I know it's an ideal host for the event. I've played TPC Myrtle Beach more than any other course, and it will offer our players a great challenge." Carlos, it was announced the U.S. team has been announced for the second Concessions Cup that's going to be held April 19th to the 24th at the Concession Golf Club in Bradenton, Florida. The Concession Cup is an event designed to celebrate the game through international competition while giving back to worthy causes. The event is a biennial team competition played between teams comprised of leading male mid-amateurs, senior amateurs, and super senior amateurs from the United States and Great Britain. It's kind of like a Walker Cup for the older guys. The concession is aptly named after the tremendous act of sportsmanship between Jack Nicklaus and Tony Jacklin at the 1969 Ryder Cup when Nicklaus gave Jacklin a two-foot putt to have their match. For more information, you can visit concessioncup.com. And finally, Carlos, Little Linksters is holding its sixth annual swing contest. Both men's and women's world number ones, Jordan Spieth and Lydia Ko, are going to serve as judges this year, along with Golf Channel's Lauren Thompson, Keegan Bradley, as well as Keegan's father, Mark, Alan Wynoski, Nicole Weller, and Chick Evans. If you want more information about that, visit littlelinksters.com. Click on the best peewee golf swing in the world and take some video of your favorite little golfer and enter the contest. It's a lot of fun. Kids will have a good time doing it. I did it with my grandkids. It's a good deal. It's a great little contest.
Well, Back Niners, that will wrap up another week of the Back Niners Report presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us. Special thanks to our VIG, very important guest of the week, Craig Kahn, the LPGA's Chief Communications Officer. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Block Talk Radio, and also to tune in or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Our Twitter ID is @Back9Report with the number 9 in the middle. My name is Carlos Torres. Along with Fred Olvader, we wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. So happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.